Let us pray. O Christ, you who are willing to die and be raised for us, bless us with your Spirit, that we may die to old lives and be made anew. Speak your creating word to us now, for we are listening. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what some people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the gospel from John's gospel in the 9th chapter.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a blind man from birth.
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes.
"Go, wash in the pool of Siloam."
Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed, and when he came back, he could see.
Before you come, think about this. How hard it is for us to let go of this notion of punishment and reward. This notion that somehow God has these expectations of us that we're supposed to meet, and if we don't, we either get punished or somehow trouble, and if we do, we get rewarded. But all of that has to do with the past. You get punished or reward for what you did once. But God is in the present. And God's desire for us is simply to love us. And the purpose of our life is simply to receive that love and to give it. Jesus says, "This man was born blind in order to reveal God's work." The reason you were born is to reveal God's love. So repentance doesn't mean feeling bad about all the bad stuff we do. It's about allowing the light in. That's what happened for the blind man. It's not that something got fixed. It's that he was able to let in the light. Repentance is allowing ourselves to be changed so that we can receive and give that light. But being changed is not easy. Watch this.
That might have been the end of the story, but the neighbors didn't see it that way. In fact, they weren't sure what they were seeing.
"Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?"
"I think it is."
"No, it can't be. It's just somebody who looks exactly like him."
No, it's me. Seriously, I'm the one."
"Then how are your eyes open?"
"The man called Jesus made mud, and he spread it on my eyes. And he said, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went, and I washed, and then I could see."
"Well, where did he go?"
"I was blind. How would I know?" It's really hard to discover who we really are, especially because other people want to tell us. And they're not telling us so that we will discover. They're telling us so that we will fit in to what they already want. Every family has a story. And we grow up learning how to fit in to the story that we're given. And every group behaves that way. And every member of every group is expected to be a part of this story. And when God changes us, one of the things that happens is that we self-differentiate. We discover that I am different from you. I am my own person. And it's God who writes my story, not you. It's God who creates me to be the person that I am, not somebody else. But because of the way families are, families will protect their story. So when you self-differentiate and step outside that story and decide you're going to play a different role, your family will do everything they can to pull you right back in. Whatever group you're a part of will put on your old costume, give you your old lines, and insist that you play that old part out again. So the blind man says, "Wait, look, it's me." And they say, "No, no, sorry, that can't be true. We simply don't believe it." It takes guts to set ourselves apart from other people's expectations or even our own and really allow nobody but God to write the story of who we are, to really understand that I am here to reveal God's love in my way, not just to relieve your anxiety because I don't fit into your expectations. It takes a lot of guts. So let's see how it works with our friend.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus bathed the mud and opened his eyes.
Now how did you receive your sight?
The man put mud on my eyes, and then I washed. And now I see.
I don't see how this healer could be from God. He does not observe the Sabbath.
But how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened?
He's a prophet. What does it look like?
I still don't see how he could be blind and receive his sight. Go call his parents. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?
We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, is he old enough? He will speak for himself, you'll see.
Give glory to God. We know that that man is a sinner.
I do not know if he's a sinner. What I do know is that I used to be blind, and now I see.
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
Look, I've told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Wow, you sure do like hearing this story over and over. Do you want to become his disciples?
No way. You are his disciple. But we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not have a clue where he comes from.
Well, now, this is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from. And yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to anyone who worships and obeys God. Never since the world began has it been heard that somebody opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done anything. Don't you see?
You were born entirely in sin. And are you trying to teach us? Out of the synagogue? Out!
Tomorrow, I'm going to become a grandfather. I'm going to become a new person. And my oldest son is going to become a father. And it's so fun to imagine him suddenly in this moment being transformed into a totally different person. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be hard work. He's going to have to do all sorts of stuff that he's never had to do in his life. It's going to be pretty fun. And maybe the most important thing that he's going to do is he's going to hold this little baby and let that baby become who he becomes. And he's not going to be able to tell that little kid who to be. Almost all of what happens with that kid is going to happen inside him. Although Daniel can relate to him in a way that nourishes that or gets in the way of that. The blind man was surrounded by people who were just not prepared to let him become who God was making him. The most wonderful, powerful thing we can do for each other as a church is to create a community in which it's all right to be yourself, in which it's really safe to really be yourself in the process of becoming who you're becoming. And the thing is, when we really discover who God creates us to be, we find that that's a moving target. God keeps creating us to be somebody new. And in that, how precious it is to have a community that will help us, that will let us discover ourselves and not insist that we be the person that we used to be. How easy it is for us to say, oh yeah, I know who she is. She's the grumpy one. He's the smart one. And we pigeonhole each other and we don't let each other change. How precious it is to have a community of people who will really allow it to be a safe place where you can be who you are. To listen deeply to one another's story. That changes everything. See how it changed it for this man that Jesus healed.
Jesus heard that they had driven the man out of the synagogue, and he went and found him.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him.
You have seen him, and now you're hearing him too.
Lord, I believe.
I came into this world for judgment so that we will wonder that those who are blind see, and those who do see are blind.
Hey, we heard that. You don't mean that we're blind, do you?
If you were blind, you would have a good excuse. But when you say, we see, your sin is obvious.
Each one of us is doing our best to listen to God and discern how it is that God is recreating us. To hear how God is creating, writing our story. It's hard to hear that amidst the chatter of everybody else who's telling us what our story ought to be. Imagine how powerful it would be if we had a community of faith who was gathered here in order to listen to one another's stories. So that each of us, in other people's listening, could finally hear our own story and come to believe that. Believing isn't a matter of doctrine. Jesus wasn't asking that man, do you believe certain things about a certain theological character? What he was asking was, what have you experienced? What's real in your life? What if we were listening that deeply to one another I think what would happen is that the love of God would be revealed in us. So we listen. Will you pray with me our Lenten listening prayer 3 times? Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. God of grace, we give you thanks that it is you alone who creates us, who allows us to write the story of our lives, and that it's the story of grace, the story of your love. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.